Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Cillian Sunderman is a comedian. This Boy Is Cracking Up is his first ever nationwide tour, starting in Greystones in January, culminating in the mecca of comedy, Vicar Street.
Woo!
May 30th.
Woo! Yeah! And can I just say, the Greystones is sold out.
Wow!
We're all sold out. It's the first place I lived in Ireland, Greystones, and I feel like it's a homecoming gig, and it's already sold out, baby.
Friends and family and...
I think I have an auntie there who wanted to go, and now I have to get her on the guest list, so...
This Boy's Cracking Up, I recognise the line.
Mm-hmm. It's from Phil Lynott's song, Old Town.
Yes.
Yeah.
This Boy Is Cracking Up. Are you a fan of...
Huge fan. I guess the show is kind of about how I wanted to be a really cool rock star like Phil Lynott and ended up being a comedian instead, which is, it's a step down, but I'm pretty happy.
Well, I don't know if it is, you see. I don't know if, I've given this a lot of thought. It's actually a lot more difficult to be a stand-up comedian than a rock star. If you think about it, right, you write a song, which is probably, that's the difficult part.
Mm.
But then you just sing that same song or a number of songs for years.
Again and again.
Yeah, whereas as a stand-up comedian, you can write a show, but then you have to write another show and another show and another show and another show. And each night's completely different. And somebody might heckle you, which they don't tend to do at rock concerts.
You might get some underwear thrown on stage. I've never had that happen to me in Whelan's on a Wednesday evening. But I think just rock stars are cooler. I think that's kind of the vibe.
And can you sing?
I can sing. Yeah, I have a band. I have a band called The Sleaze, and we do music, and we have a Christmas show coming up. But I guess I wanted to be like Phil. He's just a cool guy walking around. You know the way he is in that Old Town video where he's walking around, he's playing the trumpet, he's like sort of dancing with people on Grafton Street. Like I always wanted to be
Bridge.
Yeah, I wanted to be like that. I always thought we were really like, you know, similar, me and Phil Lynott, and then
three-quarter length coat.
Yes, very cool, like hanging off, you know, spending about 10 hours in the long haul pub just drinking. I wanted to be like that. But then I ended up just making videos in my parents' bedroom.
Yeah,
when I was in the pandemic, and
that's where it all started.
That's where it started. Yeah, so I ended up going a different way.
There's sort of a whole host of you, a new crop, if you like, of comedians.
You know what they call us? COVID comedians,
right?
Which is I don't really think that's very fair. It just makes it sound like, you know, millions of people had to get a deadly virus in order for me to find success in comedy. That's true. That's what happened. But it's not really fair, I don't think.
But I'm wondering, did you all stumble into it? Like, or did you want to be comedians and COVID gave you an opportunity to do videos and a lot more people watched the videos because there's nothing else to do, and that you grew a sort of a following?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, I think it's a mix, the online kind of comic scene, I suppose. You have a mix of people. You have people who were doing comedy, stand-up comedy, and then COVID happened and they could no longer do the stage stuff, so they moved to doing it online. That became the new stage. You have people like Emma Dorn and, you know, Tony Campbell and all these people who were doing it before.
Different for you though?
Yeah, for me, I never went to the clubs. I never kind of did that. It might have been something that was maybe a bit intimidating, but I hadn't actually really thought about, I want to be a comedian. I like making videos. I was a video editor and I had time. Like I was an English teacher as well, and I didn't have my job anymore. I had, you know, the whole expanse of time had opened up in front of me. The government were giving me €350 a week to sit on my hole. So I was just like, okay, I better do something
productive
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I started making these little videos. Most of the time I was kind of just making fun of the government's pandemic response, which it's like an easy job to do that, to just make fun of the Irish government's pandemic response. But it was, so I was kind of doing that stuff and it got traction. And then the second it opened up, I went straight to the stage and I just started doing live stuff. Right. And it's been great. I mean, I've loved it so much.
It's interesting that you're an editor and an English teacher, two good skills to have. I've watched some of your videos and I noticed that they were a cut above. See what I did there? That's a sort of a pun. A cut above your average videos.
Can I have that?
that makes sense because you're obviously you know how to do it professionally.
Mm.
So it went from, I was looking like some of your things at the beginning only got 3 views.
Yeah,
and some of the big ones got 2.2 million.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it goes up and down, but like generally. Since, I don't know, I don't know, about 2 years ago or something like that, it's just been mad numbers. I just keep plugging away, doing my thing, and it still seems to be getting a reaction. I'm like, well,
they're
this has to end at some point.
They're gentle enough.
I guess I just kind of, I'd love to be cool and, you know, these kind of edgy comedians. I'd love to be cool and try to find where the line is and talk about, you know, really difficult subjects and, you know, push the limit of what public conversation is. And but I kind of just think silliness is what I like and yeah. and kind of absurdity. You know, these are the, this is the way comedy comes out of me, is a way
that,
like...
because of the German gene? Because that's the sort of German comedy. Is it sort of more visual?
Absurd, yes. Kind of silliness, yes. You know, like Irish comedy, there's a lot of dryness, a lot of sarcasm, yes. That kind of thing. And like
cerebral.
You know, cerebral, and brilliant. Yeah. And I have that as well. There are brilliant stars on the poster,
just
funny.
Just so you know.
I'm choking it with laughter, Marion Keyes.
Absurd and cerebral.
4 stars, the Irish Times. No, I mean, I guess like the, because you often hear people say Germans aren't funny, and which I think is just a misunderstanding of how Germans are funny, you know, like they have a different way of doing it. And, you know, like, let's say Irish people, very sarcastic. And if you bring sarcasm to a German, it's like, it won't stick. They don't understand it. Like, let's say it's really sunny day. You're standing at a bus stop in Germany. A German man walks up to you. You might do the whole like, God, isn't this terrible weather we're having, in that kind of way. Yes. And a German would just go, no, it's beautiful weather. I actually really like this. It's fantastic weather. I don't understand what you're saying. Yes. And you would walk away from that going, oh, they don't get it. They're not funny. But they have... very different.
So what do they, just so people know, because we're meeting you for the first time, that your dad is German.
Yes.
And your mom is half German.
That's exactly it. Yeah, yeah. Right. Dad's German, full German man, spot him from a mile off. Mum, born and raised in Ireland, but had a German mother who moved here in like the 40s.
Right, okay. So there's a lot of German there, right? Okay, so what do German people find funny? These are generalizations, but look, it's fine.
I mean, I got like, you know, I got two German uncles. One of them, Manfred, whose birthday today.
Happy
75
birthday,
years old.
Manfred.
I mean, yeah, all the way over in Munster. And they are the two funniest men I know. Like, they are hilarious, like really, really funny. And I always... heard people go, oh, Germans aren't funny. And then I had these two really silly, kind of, I guess, visual, kind of slapsticky, kind of humorous men. They, I remember one time when I was a kid, like my uncle Manfred put like eggshells on his ears and oranges on his eyes and then was doing funny faces. So very kind of basic kind of stuff that would,
you were 5 at the time.
I was 5 at the time.
So you got to play
to the audience.
Probably wouldn't work for a Vicar Street audience.
Oh man, I'm going to have to change my show. Yeah, God, I just ordered like 10 cartons of eggshells. So I don't know what I'm going to have to do now.
So your dad then and your mom, have they seen your show?
They have, yeah. And they're in it a lot because I think that a lot of my comedy has been sort of figuring out my identity. I think that's kind of what it is. Like, This Boy Is Cracking Up has kind of double entendre in that way. Like, it's sort of me figuring out... I mean, I guess I'm an Irish man, but I have this thing. Like, when I was a kid, I was much more German because in the house, that's where, you know, in the household, that's where it's kind of German.
Yes.
Everyone's speaking German at home. You eat German food, like lots and lots of potato salad and sausages. That's kind of what we had. Every meal was just a sausage eating competition. And that's kind of what my house was. But then when I went to school, like became a teenager, I kind of went out into the Irish world and became much more of an Irish person.
Yes.
And that's kind of been... my life now. So I'm kind of like figuring out these two sort of identities and mashing them together. And it kind of gives me a way of looking at Ireland in an interesting way because I see the way that Irish people do things and I notice them and I go, that's not how we do things. So I kind of compare these two ways of being.
So you're a bit like an outsider looking in.
Yeah, yeah. But now I feel like I'm an insider looking outside and in again. It's very Inception. It's very Inception.
So there's a mirror involved somewhere there.
Yes, somewhere. I don't know where. It's trickery.
So you're one of the three young hot guys with Tony Cantwell and Shane Daniel Byrne. And you're also on No Worries If Not, which is just finished shooting its second series for the RT player. Yeah. You got a mention from Justine Stafford.
It's RT. It's RT2.
Oh,
RT2? Yeah, yeah. We're going on the telly.
Oh, you're going on the telly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Justine said that on Friday.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's why we don't let her do the press, Justine. You know, she's great at the comedy and the acting, but you know, when it gets to
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we filmed it there, and I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm very tired. I don't know how many sketches we shot. We wrote, I don't know, like 120 sketches because we wanted to have more than we needed, so that if you know the ones that don't work, we can just
throw
them away.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of did
ruthless, that. I believe.
Yeah, last
comedy.
Time we had the exact amount. So, you know, when we were watching them, we were like, well, that sketch doesn't really work. We were looking at each other going, well, it just has to go on. Whereas this one is like, it's hit, 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 which is great. Really exciting.
When will that be on then?
January at some point. I mean, there's right now a room of very panicked men editing several sketches, and so they are hopefully going to get it done within the next month. Well, hopefully, we'll see.
Meanwhile, you're preparing for your first ever nationwide tour.
Yes.
Starting at Greystones in January, sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Vicar Street. So I suppose everybody has to do their first Vicar Street. Like Tommy Tiernan did his first Vicar Street. Like it's into his hundreds now. I imagine.
I mean, yeah, Joanne's fast catching him, but yeah.
Did I hear today that Joanne has announced something like 375 in the Olympia or
it's
something?
It's amazing.
Like
yeah, yeah. It's so it's good. But I've just got my little Vicar Street day. Yes. But I mean, it is a dream come true. I mean, every comedian in Ireland wants to do Vicar Street. I mean, it's an iconic venue. We've all kind of gone to comedy there and seen the greats. You know, I remember seeing, you know, Dylan Moran there before the pandemic and just thinking like, this is incredible. This room, because it has that, you know, there's 1,000 people there, but it feels like a very intimate gig.
Yes.
And I've had the joy of like supporting Shane and Tony when they've been doing their shows there. And I've supported Emma there recently. I've done it a lot, but I've never had, you know, my night. And I just can't wait to do it. It's going to be so good.
And when you have sleepless nights now worrying about ticket sales?
Well, after being on this, geez, no, not anymore. I mean, I'll check my phone and I'll probably have to announce a whole host of new dates. I'll be coming for Joanne, actually. No, I mean, it is a new thing because before I did a tour with Michael Fry before. We did a nationwide tour and it sold very well. So I'm hoping it's just the same. But I mean, I've got a lot of aunties and uncles, so I think we'll be okay.
And have you got a website, Killian? So
yes. Yeah. AveryTalent.com. You can get the tickets there, Aviary. Or you can just go to my social medias and there's a link in my bio.
Right. It has AveryTalent.com and it's Killian Sunderman.
Yeah, or Killer Sunday as people shout at me on the streets.
Spelt with a K.
Yes.
Yeah, and Sunderman is a German name, obviously.
Two N's at the end. I sometimes...
And what does it mean?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know, right. Okay.
It's, I think, son is... Son? I don't know. Like, as in son, like father and son.
Oh, yeah.
Son of man, maybe.
Which we all are.
We all are, in our own way.
Yeah. We're all son of men.
Yeah,
sons
well, I certainly
men.
Am.
Yeah. Right. Killian Sunderman, thanks so much.
Thanks for having
And good
me.
Luck with the tour. And good luck with the podcast. And good luck with No Worries If Not on RTE2. Thanks, Killian.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.